Hello, thank you for joining LTC NAC Chat, a podcast brought to you by the American Association of Post-Acute Care Nursing, APACN. I'm your host, Amy Stewart, Chief Nursing Officer for APACN. I'm here today with Jennifer LeBay, Curriculum Development Specialist with APACN. Jennifer joins us to discuss strategies for simplifying the care plan process. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Jennifer, what do you think is the biggest challenge nurse assessment coordinators, or NACs, and the interdisciplinary team, or the IDT members, face when it comes to completing care plans?
I only can choose one. There's a lot. Let's see, finding time. I know that you and Jesse had a great podcast about CAWS, and similar to the CAW process, finding the time to get the care plans done. And unfortunately, you really need to find the time because the care plans are such an important part of the whole long-term care process and the care process for the residents. Another piece that's a huge challenge is knowing what needs to be care planned. So this has always been when I've been training folks on how to do care plans or reviewing their care plans, new folks ask, how do you know what needs to be in the plan of care? And I always hearken back to an in-service I went to in Connecticut back in the 90s. It was a wonderful educator. I wish I had her name so I could give her the full credit for this. But she said something in that presentation that just stuck with me. When you're looking at trying to determine what needs to be care planned, ask yourself when looking at all of the facts, so what? So this resident has a UTI, so what? So I will ask that to any nurses or folks that I'm training, and they'll say, well, if they have a UTI, they're going to be at risk for dehydration because they're not drinking enough, or they might have pain, they might have a fever, and they'll list all of these things that clinically they would need to do to care for that resident with whatever item I presented to them. And basically, I just turned around to them and say, okay, well, that's what you need to care plan. So it's getting down to the fundamentals of nursing and the care that we're providing. Why is this particular issue or problem or need or medication or diagnosis or injury, why is this an issue for the resident? And maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. So that's why you have to ask yourself that so what question. Because if you ask yourself that, well, there really isn't an issue with this for this resident because it was already taken care of, it was already addressed, then you don't necessarily have to care plan for it. So I find that that is one of the biggest challenges, especially with newer staff to care planning, as to what do they even need to look at. And then once we've figured out what we are going to care plan and we've done that full review and we've asked ourselves, so what, and okay, here's what we need to address, then the next biggest challenge, I would say, is making sure that we're communicating that information that's on the care plan to the team. Because a lot of times we will have a wonderful care plan in place, and where we might get into trouble is that implementation of that care plan. So how are we going to communicate that information to the team?
That's great information, Jennifer. I love that you said the so what. I like to say that the longest care plan doesn't win, but the most individualized is what the resident needs, and that's what we should strive for. So thank you for that information. Are there consequences to taking shortcuts or having a poorly written care plan?
Absolutely. Now, first and foremost, we have to look at what is the purpose of doing that plan of care? Why do we have it? Ultimately, it's to just do that, take care of the resident and provide care to that resident. So if we don't have a proper plan of care in place, then we're not going to be able to care for that resident appropriately. Something's going to potentially negatively impact that resident if we don't have a proper care plan in place. So that is the first thing that we need to look at. When we're looking at that so what information, what we then have to ask ourselves is, okay, if I don't do this, what are the potential negative outcomes of this issue that we're discussing? So we're really trying to make sure we're taking the best care of the resident and that everybody knows what the plan is and that we're able to accomplish that with what's in our plan of care. And if we don't have that information and we haven't done a full assessment, we haven't worked the cause, we haven't done that deep investigation in the beginning, then the resident may suffer and there's going to be negative outcomes clinically, and then unfortunately, that's going to lead to negative survey tags. We're going to be found negligent potentially if we had care that should have been done for the resident, that we should have assessed, that we just didn't do it and it was missing on the care plan or the interventions weren't appropriate, then we're going to end up with an incomplete comprehensive care plan or other survey tags that are going to indicate potentially a widespread problem. One of the things that I have seen a lot with the survey tags is a widespread issue when using the templates. Care plan templates are a great starting point. And that's it. So you need to really make sure that not only are we just using that template and we're not just putting the resident's name on it, we're not just filling in a couple of things to make it quote unquote resident centered, but that we're actually assessing and looking at what is going on with that resident, that we're actually putting that information in that plan of care. A rule of thumb that I always used, and I used this with care area assessments as well as care plans, you should be able to read that cost summary or that care plan and know who that care plan is for based on the information in that plan of care. That's how resident-centered it should be. We should know who it's about. If we knew the resident, oh yeah, that's Jennifer's care plan because it says XYZ. We really need to make sure that we are customizing those templates. If we have the same intervention for every single person, you're going to end up with a widespread issue, especially if there were negative outcomes associated with that. So a huge piece of the whole care planning process is making sure that we are really focusing on why is this an impact for this particular resident and how is this going to affect this particular resident. It's a huge piece that I think is probably one of the biggest reasons why we get into trouble with survey is because we don't have that information written down. Now, maybe our outcomes, we've been lucky, we haven't had negative outcomes because the care is happening, it just wasn't documented, but we need to make sure that not only are we doing the care, but we're putting it in that plan of care. And however we do that plan of care, whether it's part of your medication administration record, your treatment administration record, whatever process your facility has in place, incorporate that into the plan of care. I think it's important to understand that when we're talking about the care plan, it's not just that care plan section of the electronic health record or that, you know, little Word document template you have in the care plan binder, however you do it, but it's the overall plan of care as well. And that includes the physician's orders and all the assessments and all of those things. So if you make reference back to those areas where we are actually implementing that resident-centered care, if we put that into that official plan of care as well, now we are filling those gaps and we can utilize that whole medical record as part of that plan of care. But if we just have a cookie cutter template that says the same thing for everybody, it's going to present a problem, especially if we have negative outcomes with resident care.
Very well said, Jennifer. Thank you. What do you think is most important for NACs and IDT members to recognize about care plans to get back on track?
That's a great question. And I'm glad that you mentioned the interdisciplinary team because it's not just the NAC. It's the whole team is responsible for the plan of care. It's not just the NAC's care plan or activities care plan or the social work care plan. This is the resident's care plan. And we need to make sure that we're looking at that from that focus. So if there is an issue with the resident, we should be addressing that in that plan of care. There needs to be some cross-training in the facility. It's not just the NAC. It's not just that care plan coordinator or MDS coordinator, whatever you call it in your facility. If a nurse is getting an order for an antibiotic because the resident has an infection, that's the starting point. That's the entrance into, okay, we need to put a plan in place. We need to document that plan. So we need to make sure that the whole team is aware this is a team effort. We need to look at the resident as a whole 24/7 as things happen with the resident. Now, certainly, certain team members do have responsibilities for making sure that the plan of care is in place, the comprehensive plan of care is in place, that we're following those updates quarterly from the REI user's manual and looking at the state operations manual and the regulations related to that. We have to have all that in place, yes, and we do need to have responsible team members for those items, but everybody needs to be aware of care planning and making sure that we're communicating those changes. Now, maybe you're not there yet. Maybe your facility isn't there yet and you do just have that one centralized person. Okay, fine. Then let's talk about communication. Earlier, we talked about communicating what is on that care plan to the team. Well, it goes both ways. How do we know what to care plan unless we are being communicated to? So if I'm the only person in charge of care plans, while I'm trying to change the process in the facility, the care plan still needs to be written. So how are we making sure that that direct care staff is communicating those important points to that person in charge of care planning? So it goes both ways. Maybe you have to read medical records on a daily basis. Is that the best use of the NAC's time or that care plan coordinator's time? Probably not. So looking at how are we communicating those things and then starting small. All right, we know there's an issue. We need to address it. Let's start with, okay, we're going to address infections and the direct care nurses are going to make sure that they start that care plan process. But there needs to be some training. So obviously, if your facility is not used to having the whole team involved in the care planning process, we as the care plan coordinators or nurse assessment coordinators need to give up some of our control over that whole care planning process and allow the other team members in. I remember when I was a NAC, I did not want anybody touching my handwritten beautiful care plans, and how dare they write something on my care plan. It's not my care plan. It's the resident's care plan. I should have been thrilled that a nurse took the initiative to put something on that plan of care. So we need to embrace that the whole process is a team process and the importance. This is going to stem from the top and hopefully trickle down. The importance of that care planning. Historically, our setting has been very reactive and not proactive. And we don't do anything with care planning unless we get a survey tag or something happens with a negative outcome. We need to look at this whole process proactively to make sure that those plans are in place, the team is involved, so we're providing that great care so we don't end up with those reactive situations and we have great surveys and great resident care.
Thank you, Jennifer. I hate to admit this, but you're not the only NAC who thought the care plans were their care plan. I was the same way. Those are my care plans, and my beautiful writing was on them. And, you know, today we have to look at things a little bit different and give up some of that control so that the care plan is a living, breathing document 24/7. So thank you for that information. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Absolutely. APACN, as always, has great tools available for the NAC. I would recommend the APACN Baseline Care Plan tool. That is a great starting point if folks are not sure what needs to happen with that care planning at the beginning of the resident stay. As you know, we have regulations in place that state we have to have a baseline care plan in place within 48 hours of admission.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate you joining me today. Listeners, thank you for joining us today. For more resources and tools for nurse assessment coordinators, please visit our website at www.aapacn.org. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the LTC NACChat podcast.
APACN is celebrating our 25th anniversary in 2024. This significant milestone marks a quarter century of dedication to excellence in post-acute care nursing. We are honored to have been your professional association for the last 25 years. Join in the celebration throughout the year at the APACN Conference, on social media, and during Nurses Week. Learn more at apacn.org.